Our scripture reading is not John 9, but it is John chapter 11, so if you'd like to turn there. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. And let's read that scripture. And this is about the death of Lazarus. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus was now lay sick, was the same who purchased perfume. Who was the same who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had spoken of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told him plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 hours from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, She went to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you what you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone rolled across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the man's sister, of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, and his hands and his feet wrapped, or with his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Well, the title of this morning's message is, "I am the resurrection and the life." And within this scripture, I believe that we can see and learn things about God and things about ourselves. So let's pull out some of those key verses and see what they have to tell us. First, let's look at verse 3. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Now, in this brief statement, I want you all to notice that Jesus' friend Lazarus was sick, and yet Jesus could have prevented even the sickness. How many of you know that many times when we become sick or end up in the hospital, we may say things to ourselves like, "Is God punishing me? What did I do?" How many of you ever thought that? Yeah, you know, that's just our humanity coming through, that we think that everything must have a reason. Well, you know, in this fallen world, sickness is just what it is. It's something that happens to us. It's life happening. This is a fallen world. And I think many people tend to always look for reason and rhyme for everything. You know, the truth is that even though God doesn't seem to spring to our aid and heal us, the truth is that he's always there, and he cares for us deeply. Listen to what Hebrews 13:5 says. God says, "I will never leave you, never will I forsake you." God will never leave us alone. God is always there for us. And when we remember that, we can get through those tough times, because God is our comfort, right? Let's look at verse 4a. When Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness will not end in death." So when Jesus was informed of Lazarus' sickness, he responds that the sickness would not end in death. Well, we've just read that Lazarus died, right? But that wasn't the final say-so. Jesus resurrected from the dead. But how many of you know that he still died later? He did. And that's all of our fate too. Eventually, we're all going to have to die. We just are. But Jesus is the resurrection of the life. And the life. Listen to what it says in verse 25 and 26. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Though our physical bodies die, our spirits and our souls live on forever. We never die. and through faith and believing in Jesus. Listen to what John Wesley writes in his notes on the New Testament concerning verses 25 and 26. He writes, "I am the resurrection of the dead and the life of the living." So whether we live or we die, there's Jesus, and Jesus is always with us. "He that believeth in me, though he die, yet he shall live in life everlasting." And that's what John, the founder of our denomination, believes. And likewise, that's what the Bible teaches. Jesus has the power over life, and he has the power over death. He even has the power to forgive sins, because Jesus is the creator of life. Listen to what it says in John 14:16. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who is life can surely restore life. Whoever believes in Jesus has everlasting spiritual life that death cannot take away." John 14:19, Jesus says, "Because I live, you will also live." You know, after Martha said that, "I believe you are," I'm sorry, after Martha saying, "Whoever lives and believes," James, after Martha said, one more time, this time we'll get it right, after Martha said that she believed in the resurrection, which many Jews confess to believing, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead, as did Martha. But notice that Jesus presses her to be a little more specific about what she believed. Martha said, "Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Then he says this, "Do you believe this?" And she said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world." Like Martha, we need to make that specific confession, right? That Jesus is the life and the resurrection, and that whoever believes in him, though they die, will live on forever. So he pressed her for that response. Number 3 and 4b, "It is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it." You see, when we're ill or in the hospital or maybe even facing death, we should never forget about God's glory. It may be time for us to reflect God's glory to others, that they may see our faith and see God through us. You know, who are we to say that it's not for God's glory? You see, what we have to do is see things from God's perspective, not our earthly, worldly perspective. Too often, we focus on the impact that these things have on our life. Verse 4 says again, "It is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through you." So when we face tragedy, let's look at it from God's perspective. You know, you might ask questions like this: how is God being magnified in me through this experience? Or how is God making himself known to me and to others through this event? You know, I can tell you that I asked that question. I had the top of my thumb cut off in a shop accident many years ago. And literally, there's a quarter inch of bone missing from my thumb. And while I sat in the hallway of the hospital, waiting for the surgeons to sew the end of my thumb back on. By the way, I don't have a bone in there now. You know, my thumb is kind of like a nose. But as I stood there, or as I sat there waiting, I said, "Lord, what is it that you want me to see in this?" And what I started to notice is that people were walking in front of me that were patients in the hospital that were in way worse shape than I was. And I said, "Thank you, Lord, for putting this in the proper perspective." And it's important that we do that. And how many of you know it, when you do things like that, you're changing your whole mindset of the events that are happening. And then the focus isn't so much on you, but it's on God and on other people. And that's so important as Christians for us to know that. The fourth thing, it comes from verse 21. Mary says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, I reading between the lines on that, I think possibly that Mary may have been angry that Jesus wasn't there and that her son, that her brother rather, had died. You know, I can tell you that when I did some chaplaincy training at Beaumont, and I was a chaplain intern for about 8 months, that they taught us that through people in the hospital, that they may experience a large array of emotions. And there was like 7 or 8, and they broke it down into 3. They said that things like people would experience anger, that people would be anxious and feeling anxiety, or they could feel guilty. You know, and I thought, feeling guilty, well, yeah, they're feeling guilty that they're feeling sorry for themselves when there's other people in worse situations. So they're guilt-ridden about, they shouldn't be worried about themselves as much as they are. So, you know, these things aren't wrong. They're human. And they're just ways for us to work through some of these emotional things. But when we look for God in these things, God will help us through by pointing these things out to us. Even Jesus may have questioned, had the same question run through his mind when he was on the cross, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Do you see? You know, these things do happen. And finally, let's look at verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. You see, Jesus witnessed the mourning and the sorrow and the pain of others around him, and he was moved. He was moved to compassion. And it says even further in verse 35 is that Jesus wept. Now, we all know that verse. Jesus wept because it's the shortest verse in the Bible, right? But more importantly, it shows that we have a God that cares for us and loves us. And through our pain and suffering, he's there with us, suffering as well, and grieving when we grieve. Aren't you glad we have a God that cares like that? Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to turn you guys into Baptists yet. But yeah, it's so important to know that. So let's review really, really quickly on this. First, we learned that God doesn't always intervene. He doesn't always intervene, but he's always there with us. He's never left us. And he's always there, and he won't forsake us. The second thing we've learned is that Jesus wept. It's so important to know how much God cares, even in our pain, and he's there to offer us sympathy. You know, I don't know why it helps, but have you ever noticed that you feel better when somebody comes to visit you in the hospital? You do. You just do. I don't know if it's misery likes company. That's when somebody's helping you do a task you don't want to do. But yeah, I don't know what it is, but it helps. It helps when we can know that God is with us even through in the midst of our worst pain. The third thing is that we need to know that the illness or whatever it is that we're facing, that it could be for God's glory. You know, ask that question, Lord, what is it that I can see from this, learn about you, or what is it that others can see in me through this experience? Can they see you in this experience? And most importantly, verses 25 and 26, we learned that Jesus said that I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, and whoever lives believes in me will never die. You see that? That's eternal life. That no matter where we're at, if we're here on earth, there's Jesus. When we die and go to heaven, we're with Jesus. So this is what I want you to take from this message this morning. To be encouraged, yes, to be encouraged. But remember, Christ was not only moved to emotion, but he was moved to action. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And we may not be able to raise Lazarus from the dead, but we can pray for people, right? We can give them prayer shawls. We can comfort them. We can visit those that are sick in the hospital. We can visit the poor. We can visit those that are in prison. And most of all, Jesus proclaimed hope of the resurrection and eternal life. Folks, we can tell our friends and neighbors about Jesus and eternal life. As we go to the Lord's table this morning, pray that God will open up your mouths to tell people about eternal life. It's the most important thing you could ever tell anybody. You know, there was a lawyer in our last church, and he said that he sat at his dinner table one time, and before he started praying, he says, "I want you all to listen really close." He says, "This is real important." He says, "I want you all to know about Jesus and his saving grace and faith in him." He says, "Because I want each and every one of you to be with me in heaven." Likewise, we need to tell our friends and our families that same thing with urgency. It's that important. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for your word and for this story about Jesus and Lazarus and his sisters. Lord, we thank you the information in it can help us to come to terms with our own illnesses, can help us have compassion and reach out into the world for the hurting and the lost. Lord, you are such a loving and wonderful God. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.